Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. You've noticed on the front here we have the Lord's Supper. We'll be taking that this morning, and the message will be around the Lord's Supper. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have in life to live for you and to praise your name. Call to remember the sacrifice that you made for us. And Lord, most of all, I just thank you for coming to die on the cross for my sins. Lord, that I might have life, that I might have eternal life. And Lord, if there's one person here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work in their heart this morning, that they might come and trust you before it's too late. And God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The Lord mentions several times here, "Do this in remembrance of me." And do this in remembrance of me. There's some things in life that are very important in our life, and we need to remember those things, especially those things that Christ has done in our life. I don't know about you, but God's still working on me. He's still working in my life. He hasn't given up on me yet. He's still working this and that to show me. I believe that I need to be closer to him every day. Draw closer to him every day. I thank God that he has provided a great salvation in our life. And he wants us to remember that. We'll be teaching a class next week in Sunday school about how to witness. And you know, the Bible says, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We got to go to the Billy Graham Museum this last week. That's where we went to, one of the places, saw Noah's Ark and the Creation Museum. But I really liked Billy Graham's museum because you know what he was famous, I believe, for saying? The Bible says, over and over and over, he would tell you and remind you, it's not what he's saying, but what God is saying. And he would say over and over, the Bible says, and the Bible says, all are sinners. Every one of us. We are sinners by nature. We're born sinners. Now you may think, well, preacher, those little babies are so cute. How could they be sinned? Have sin in their life. They have that old sinful nature. And they don't have to be taught how to be bad. They just come by it naturally. They don't have to be taught about pride in their life. We just have it, don't we? We have to be trained or raised properly to do good. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, 1, he said, "You were dead in your trespasses and sin." All of us, we have sin. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of that sin is death. And then it says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." One thing God wants us to remember this morning is the call to the invitation of the Salvation Supper, I call it. Salvation. He calls you to come to salvation. Some of you here this morning are lost. You've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now think about that. Have you received Christ into your heart this morning? I didn't say, did you join the church? I didn't say, are you religious? I said, have you received Christ into your life? You see, there's a difference. I've gone to church all my life. I'm a preacher, but that doesn't make me saved, does it? I've known a lot of preachers that got saved after they've been preaching the Word. I've known a lot of people that got saved and they knew the Bible, but they never received it, Christ, into their heart. They had it up here, but they didn't have it here. And there's a lot of people in our churches today that have got their names on the roll. They come to church, and they are lost. And if they died today without Christ in their life, they would spend an eternity separated from God. You see, sin separates us from God. The Bible says, you know, there's a great gulf there. Nobody can cross over except through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He wants us to remember that. He called us to salvation. God calls us through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a man in John chapter 3 named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a religious man. He knew all about religion. And he comes to Jesus Christ and he says, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus tells him this, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter, Nicodemus, that you are a ruler of the Jews. It doesn't matter if you are a religious man. You must be born again. And Nicodemus, he must have looked kind of funny, and he said, well, how can a man be born again? Can a man enter into his mother's womb twice? Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, you just don't understand. That which is physical is physical. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's what being born again is. We are all born naturally. We have that natural birth. You know, we come into this world, but like Nicodemus didn't understand, we're sinners. We try to dress up. Oh, don't my deacons look nice today? They just can't wait to get out of these suits. And I can't either, I'll be honest with you. You know, I like the tennis shoes and the T-shirts and stuff like that more. I feel more comfortable, overalls or whatever. But, you know, we dress up nice. But that doesn't get us saved, does it? We can come to church and we can bring our Bibles and we can use all the religious words that you want, but that doesn't make us saved. Jesus says, if you're ever going to get into heaven, Byron Jones, you have to be born again. By the Spirit of God, you have to hear His call. You have to repent of your sin. That means you just want to turn from your sin, and then you got to turn to Christ. Let Him have control of your life. Say, Lord, I realize that You died on the cross for me, and I want You to come into my heart, and I want You to live for Him. You give your life 100% to Christ. That's what it is to be born again. Jesus says, Nicodemus, you know, the wind blows here and there. You don't know where it comes from, but it's there. And he says, and uses another example, as Moses lifted up, Nicodemus knew all about Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Oh, listen, Jesus came to die for our sin. And he was put on the cross. And he was nailed to the cross because he was willing to die for you and I. You see, there has to be a payment for sin. And in the Old Testament, the Passover, those priests would come in and offer up the blood of bulls, and you know, over and over and over again, those sacrifices was made. But Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice. He was God in the flesh, God with us. We'll be celebrating that for long in Christmas. God with us. And he came to die for us. And the Bible says, and you've been listening to Brother Perry preach in Hebrews, he's a great high priest. Oh, we don't have to come offering up the blood of animals anymore, because Christ died for us. And he says, if you will just come to me just like you are. You see, a lot of people say, well, preacher, one of these days I'm going to come to Christ when I'm good enough. You will never be good enough. And you will die lost that way. You must put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gives you an invitation to come to him. He wants you to come. He said, I want you to come that you might have life and have it abundantly. You see? But you must come. He's not going to force you. He calls you. How does he call you? By his Spirit. That tug at your heart inside. You know that if you're lost, he's saying, come on. Come on. Come to me. You've got problems. We all have problems, don't we? Jesus is the answer to those problems. So that's the call he says this morning. Would you come for salvation? Not only that, there's a commemorative supper. We are to remember what he's done on the cross. He says you take of the bread, you remember his death on the cross. John says, behold the Lamb of God. You know, I said they brought bulls and they brought lamb for sacrifices, but John says, behold the Lamb of God. That perfect, sinless Lamb, his perfect Son. Somebody said this morning about John 3:16, I've been out of touch with the reality for a few days, and oh, was it good. At Reclaw, you don't have nothing but the Grit Channel. If y'all watch that, I watch Westerns. I know them by heart, so I don't have to really watch them. But, you know, God says the Son of Man, God himself, came to die as that perfect sacrifice on the cross without sin. He lived among us. He was tempted like we are. Yet the Bible says without sin. Without sin. And we are to remember his death. We're to remember the shedding of blood, you see. We're to remember all of these things of our precious Lord who gave his life. John 3:16, for God so loved me. For God so loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How? That whosoever, that's the call, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, without Christ, you're going to perish. And that doesn't mean you're just going to be gone. That means you're going to be separated from God and all that is good for all eternity. You know the story of the rich man in hell and Lazarus has suffered beggar at his gate. That rich man is still in hell today. Not because he's rich, but because he wouldn't trust Christ as his Lord and Savior. He thought he was sufficient in life. He had everything this world could give. And you know what? We live here in America, and we think, well, sometimes, preacher, I got it all. But if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. You know, all that we have will be one day gone. I have stood at a lot of services in my time, and I have stood there and watched families weep bitterly because their loved one did not know Jesus Christ. And they didn't know where to turn to. And I would preach Jesus to them. And then I've stood at friends' graves that knew Christ, and their families knew Christ. And it really is a celebration there because they know that their loved one is in a far better place. He's in a place that God has prepared for him, you see, or her. And if you're not prepared for that place right now, you need to come to Christ. And then not only is it a supper of salvation, a supper of commemoration, I think of it as a supper of jubilation. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he took me by the hand and leads me to that promised land. What a day that will be. You know, Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9. Let me read them for you. And myself, if I can find it. Revelation, like Brother Bill said, was in the back of the book. It is the last book, you know, in 7, Revelation 7, 19, excuse me, 7, verse 7, here it is. Listen to what it says. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. Now, the bride of Christ is with him in heaven. For the marriage, the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, cleaned and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint. Then he said to me, write to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true sayings of God. And John fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Folks, we're going to be worshiping God. We're going to be praising God. We're going to be so happy in heaven. It's going to be a glorious time. And he wanted you to remember that as we take the Lord's Supper. For he says, do this till I come. Till I come. I am looking forward to that day. It's going to be a great day in the Lord. Oh, let me tell you something. We celebrated Mother's 90th birthday the other day. We celebrated a little early because not all the kids could be there. But let me tell you, she didn't know whether it was her birthday or not. You see? There won't be no more of that in heaven. We'll have perfect mind. Isn't that wonderful to know? I looked at her and I thought to myself, man, when she goes to heaven, she's going to have perfect thought. Isn't that great to know that we won't have no more of that old Alzheimer's down here, no more cancer down here in heaven? It's just not there. Because heaven is a wonderful place to be. But you know what? Some of you are going to miss it. Some of you are going to miss it. Isn't that sad? You have a chance. You have a call from God. Right now to salvation. All you have to do is come. Come. It's just that simple. Come trusting Christ as that perfect sacrifice. But some of you, well, preacher, I've been in church all my life. And I'm telling you, that does not get you to heaven. well, I'm not going to go. People down there will think, they're not going to think about that. Let me tell you something. If you're 90 years old or if you're 8 years old, when you come to God for the first time, real, trust God, it doesn't matter how many times you've been baptized, all of that, it's coming to Christ that counts. When you come and give Him your life for the very first time, because He called you, not mama, not daddy, or not anybody else, but Christ called you. Oh, you're going to be so happy. I wouldn't care what anybody else thought. I did that. Brother Teddy did that. I was 21 years old, and I served as Sunday school superintendent, RAGA leader, taught Sunday school class, and I came down to the front. I wasn't worried about what the preacher was going to say. I wasn't worried about what everybody else was going to say. I just was so thankful because I knew what God was going to say. And He said, "Welcome home, my son." So if you've never trusted Christ this morning, you can't take of the Lord's Supper if you don't trust Christ. It's not for you, you see. It's for His children to remember what He's done for your life. And if you've never trusted Him, well, you're not supposed to take of the Lord's Supper because you haven't accepted the gift of salvation. It's just that simple, folks. It's a gift of God. He wants you to come. He wants to join in with that fellowship jubilation one day in heaven. He wants you to be happy here on earth. You know, somebody said, well, God puts all kinds of limits on us in the Bible. You know, my daddy, my physical daddy, he told me, brother, what time to be home. When I went out on Saturday night or Friday night, he said, you be home by this time. If I wasn't home, next time I was. And you know why he did that? I didn't understand it till I had children of my own. Because nothing good goes on in the darkness. You see? He did it because he knew what was best for me. In God's word, He knows what's best for us. And this is not limitations on a life. This is because God so loved you that He gives you an instruction book how to live so you won't hurt yourself. You know, I get so upset when I see all the things that are going on in America. Man, I'm thinking, if those kids had just had a daddy or mother that would have taught them the Bible and the love that God has for them, they wouldn't have to seek it some other way. You know? If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, He calls you for an invitation to come to salvation this morning. That's what you come for. If you know Christ, then you remember what He's done in your life. And if there's something displeasing, you just come to the altar and kneel and say, Lord, you know my life. You know that this is displeasing. Would you take it from me? The Bible says, if we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us. I think you need to do that before you take it. You see? That we're right with God in every way so that one day when He comes, death won't be a bad thing, but it'd be a great thing. Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, if there's someone here today that needs to make a decision, any decision, Lord, may they come. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.